following Kathy's journeys on Instagram and on Facebook, and I got a nice report, an audio report in. First of all, happy Halloween, Kathy. Welcome back.
Thank you.
It's so good to see you.
You're all nicely dressed.
I'm the only one in Wailuku in costume. You should have seen me. I walked over to Subway, and I felt no one there was in costume. No one in the office is in costume, and I feel rather like a kid that dresses up like a princess. You know, all these little girls. I'm going, okay, I'm just going to be a little girl dressing up like a princess today, and I'm only one dressed in costume. But my gosh, tell me, I'm so excited that you're back, number one. It looked like a very interesting, a little different than I expected, but watching the pictures come in day by day was really great. You did an Ama River cruise, and it was a very interesting one that seemed appropriate for Halloween as well.
Yeah, because we went to Dracula's Castle.
I saw that. That was the second day of your trip, right?
Right, the second day after we got there.
So why don't you give us a recap? Because I think a lot of people, I know you had quite a few people following you, lots of likes on your Instagram account and on Facebook. I may even go Facebook Live on this so people can follow, because you have many friends who love what you do. And this was a trip that is a little bit unusual for a lot of people. This isn't the trip you take every day.
No.
So I think it's, would you call it exotic?
No, not exotic. I would say it would be if you have traveled a lot and needed someplace new to go to, or if you're really interested in that part of Eastern Europe.
And it's a well, you know what was interesting? Following your trip on Facebook, was it looked a lot like medieval. There was many medieval buildings. A lot of the structures looked like they were 1500, 1600. So let's start. We are Facebook Live if you want to go live at Cindy Palos. And then later I'll share it on Kathy's site. And we will also record it. So I've really dedicated the whole hour to just talking about it. Well, no, because it's really interesting. So let's just talk about, if we're sitting over coffee and you were going to tell me about your trip from the very beginning, let's kind of do a day-by-day thing. First of all, you flew out on what day?
We flew out on October 12th on Delta. And we flew Maui, LA, LA, Amsterdam, and then Amsterdam to Bucharest.
So Amsterdam to Bucharest, and you didn't spend a day in Amsterdam. You just had a layover in Amsterdam, correct?
We had about a 6-hour layover in LA and then a 4-hour layover in Amsterdam.
So how long did it take you to get from Maui to Bucharest?
So we left on the 12th. Around, I think, 10 o'clock in the evening. And then we got into Bucharest on the 14th around 5:30 p.m.
Long trip.
Yeah.
Long trip, because a couple of long layovers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the 6 hours in Amsterdam.
Or 6 hours in L.A.
L.A. and 4 in Amsterdam. Mm-hmm. Add another 10 hours to the trip right there. How did you like Delta Airlines?
Well, it was Delta to L.A., which was fine. The seats are a little squishy in coach, you know, so there's not a lot of leg room, but that's kind of the norm with all the airlines these days. And then it was KLM from L.A. to Amsterdam, Amsterdam to Bucharest, and KLM has really good service. So we upgraded to their extra comfort, so you get a little bit more leg room. So it was quite comfortable, and the service was excellent. The food was really good, so no complaints there. I would recommend them.
And KLM left from, was that the one that left from Los Angeles?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So you had the majority of it was KLM.
Right, just Delta, Maui, LA, and LA back to Maui.
Great. All right, so you get there in Bucharest. What was some of your first impressions, Kathy?
Well, I had arranged for a car to meet us, and so the guy was out there holding his little sign, but he didn't speak I don't think he spoke much English at all. So I saw our name, then we're like, hi, and he's just like, you know. Uh-huh. So he takes us, and takes us to his car, and then we had to go on over to the hotel. So there was a lot of traffic. It's a big city, but the first major site we saw was they have an Arc de Triomphe there, so it looks just like the one in Paris, and then it got a little dark, so we couldn't see much after that. But we stayed at the Radisson Blu, which was a really nice hotel. I would highly recommend that one. It's in a good location, walking distance from the old town, which is about 10 minutes.
Oh, that's good. That's good, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's very handy, right? Because mm-hmm. you don't have to take a taxi or anything. You just wander around.
Mm-hmm. And the prices were pretty reasonable there. Even in all the Eastern European countries, the prices, as you start going west, the prices get higher. So for dinner, you know, you could do a really nice dinner for maybe like $50. But it's,
which is about the price of a lunch here.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But anyway, well, do you take, what kind of, you know, we have a lot of people joining us. We're talking about the wonderful journey on Ama River cruise that she just did to Bucharest and on. But what's the currency? Is it euros?
It's actually lei. L-E-I-S.
L-E-I-S. I've never heard of lei.
The singular is L-E-U. I think they pronounce it Lou, but for, what do you call, more currency, they call it lei.
So you had to actually do an exchange. Which did you do it there at the hotel, or go out and do it at a
ATM?
ATM, yeah. Mm-hmm,
yeah, yeah. But they do take a lot of places in Eastern Europe do take euro, mm-hmm. and some little places even take dollars.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So you're at the Radisson, mm-hmm. which is just 10 minutes outside. What was your impression when you walked into the center of town? What's your feeling about the town? Does it feel like a big, wide-open European town, or does it feel like more of a Slavic kind of town, or what does it feel like to you?
It felt a little bit like Paris. So wow. There was a lot of Parisian-style architecture, and even their little street signs. I don't know if you noticed in Paris, they have the little blue signs and it had a kind of little curvy thing. And it looks just like in Paris. So you kind of would think you were in Paris until you saw the communist building next door.
Wow.
So,
wow.
So it was kind of a mix.
Uh-huh.
The people were really friendly. Service was good everywhere. So Bucharest, though, we stayed 3 nights. But the first night we just kind of went in and slept. And then we had one free day. And then the next day we went on the ship. So the free day, I had gotten in touch with a former guide that we had met a few years ago when we were on a Oceania cruise in Constanta, Romania, and I got in touch with him, and he has his own tour company now, and he took us out to Transylvania.
Now, so, how far is it? I always thought Transylvania was way far away.
It's, well, maybe 2 hours.
Oh, it's not
far
at all.
Yeah, not too far. So we
went by a private car?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. Well, his private car. Mm-hmm. So, and it was just Andre, our guide, and really, really nice young man. And we were very impressed with him when we met him like 3-4 years ago. So we stayed in touch.
So tell me, Transylvania, it's Halloween today, and you were in Transylvania. So, like, this is, you know, Dracula, and there's a whole story that is, it's all based on the book about Dracula, right?
Bram Stoker's Dracula. And he actually never went there.
He didn't go there.
No. This is what I learned from Andre. He never went there. And he based his story on a combination of folklore of the area and Vlad the Impaler. He was a former king of Romania, and he combined these whole stories, and I guess the only castle that fit of what he described was the Braun Castle, and that's why it became known as Dracula's Castle. And so when you get there, it's kind of a touristy. Down below, they have all these tourist things with Dracula and all that kind of theme stuff. And then you just kind of walk in, and it's kind of a big, drafty castle.
Well, I saw some pictures, and I lost the Facebook Live. This has been bad connections today.
That's okay. You don't look at me the whole time.
No, it's okay. We had quite a few people watching. But anyway, so this is a big thing because I've seen it actually on a lot of travel shows. This is kind of like the inside hip thing to talk about. You know, I was in Dracula's castle. But in a way, I guess it's like I saw the pictures and it was really pretty much a big, beautiful house.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a very large, nicely done house. And it looked like it had quite a few rooms.
It did.
So you take a tour of the castle, right?
Yeah, we took a tour. And our guide, Andre, he's very proud of his country and the history of his country. So he kind of, the whole Dracula thing is just kind of a side note. And then he explained the history of the castle and the queen that lived there, and don't ask me her name because I forgot.
So it actually was a royal castle.
It was a royal castle.
And but it doesn't look like castles you would find in Ireland or England. It did have a definitely more feeling of Eastern Europe as a Eastern Europe castle.
Right.
More than a castle that you would see. Mm-hmm. I mean, because it actually looked like a very, very nice home, you know. So that was the kind of castle it looked like. What was it like inside? Were there small rooms?
The rooms are small. I would compare them to something like, you know, if you go like to the Bailey House, you know, those little small missionary type rooms, very small because the people were small that day. They even had one room set up as they called the torture room. So, you know, the Dracula room, but that's kind of was more for show kind of a thing.
So. Do you believe in Dracula? No. You probably don't believe it. There's some people that kind of really have gotten into the Dracula thing. It's become very, very hip in stories and movies and everything, obviously, right?
Yeah, and they're actually, when we went to, I can't remember if it was Bulgaria, Serbia, there is a legend about vampires even before the whole Dracula thing. So
oh, really?
There is some kind of history about that, but
so you didn't feel anything at all kind of eerie or scary?
No,
there was nothing
none
like
at
that
all. Yeah,
but I imagine there was a lot of Dracula paraphernalia you could buy then.
Yeah, there was, and I didn't buy any.
You didn't buy any? Oh, I would have been tempted to buy some. What did they have as Dracula product at the Dracula's Castle?
You know, I don't really know because I didn't really pay attention.
You didn't even go there? Oh my god.
Yeah, there's like little stands that they sold souvenirs and stuff like that before you walk up to the castle.
Wow.
So, but it was beautiful views because it's kind of high up on the cliff there.
Mm-hmm. And the queen did live there, so it does have a real authentic history.
There is, yeah. There was a queen, I can't remember her name, but that was one of their favorite homes. And she wanted to be buried near
there,
so her heart is kind of on this little rocky area.
With a stake through it?
No.
No, okay.
That came from some kind of folklore in the villages.
Uh-huh.
So he combined
some old
stories and made it into this whole Dracula.
And it took off.
It took off.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be amazing how it did. So what was it like in landscape? I saw a few pictures, and it looked like very interesting landscape through there.
It's like being in the country, I hadn't really thought of this when we were planning the trip because it was the fall, and a lot of the fall colors were out. So it was really, really pretty. Before you get to the castle, there's a lot of it's a vacation area, really.
Hmm.
So a lot of people
is it
go
like
there
a resort
to,
for that local people go to, or people visiting from
visiting? Mm-hmm. They have a lot of inns and hotels, you know, Dracula inns and stuff like that outside of where the castle is. But it's more of a vacation area. And another interesting place there that I would like to go to if we ever go back there is they have a bear sanctuary.
Really?
Where the Romanian government kind of gave a piece of the mountain in that area for abused circus bears.
Really? How
wonderful. Yeah, and zoo bears.
Wow,
so they have
cool.
black and brown, and our guide was saying he had gone there on and taken another tour up there, and he said it was pretty amazing because you can just watch the bears you know, play, and they have this freedom. They do keep them separated because the black and the browns, I don't know, they don't get...
they're different kind of attitudes, and they can fight, huh?
Yeah, and then some, he said, you can see that they were so abused that they're, you know, they the way they walk, and they just shake their head because of all the
traumatized,
abuse.
Yeah,
so he said it was really interesting, so that would be a place to go to.
So this, you know, Bucharest, I have no information. I mean, the only thing I know about Bucharest is what I'm hearing from you. I really have never followed Bucharest. I've never been to Bucharest. So it's kind of interesting. You hadn't been there before, had you?
No.
So it was a first.
Uh-huh.
And we're having some problems with our Facebook Live. So I may have to, it came back, but it's kind of, sorry if you're watching. So, I mean, so you're generally, before we get you on the river with Ama, your 3 days there, what was your general impression if you look back and you were going to review Bucharest?
Bucharest, there's not a whole lot to do there. You know, one, I think, full day is enough.
Mm-hmm.
And because there's the parliament, they have this big parliament. It's now the parliament building, but that Ceausescu, he had built this huge monstrosity. And it's the second largest administrative building in the world next to the Pentagon.
Oh, my God.
For all these military accommodate quarters back in the day, in the communist days.
Wow.
So there's that, and there's another palace. But it's got a lot of parks there. They have another big, huge park, kind of... I guess you would liken it to Central Park, but maybe not as big. But they have a lot of green space. So I think one day there, and when I was talking to my guide, I was asking him, well, so, you know, what else is there to do? And he said a lot of people use Bucharest as a base for day trips to go out into the different areas.
What was the food like?
The food was good. I don't remember. Oh, we went to, when on our tour, we went to a traditional Romanian restaurant, and they have pork is a main staple of Romania, and they have a joke that pork is their favorite vegetable.
Oh, no. So if I said I'm a vegetarian in Romania, they'd give me pork.
Yeah, it would be a bit hard. Yeah, they could do it, but yeah.
Okay. Did you get the sense of the people were kind of, had that Slavic, or what was the attitude of the people? Were they friendly, kind of quiet, internal, external? Like, how would you describe the people?
They were friendly. Mm-hmm. Depending on who you talk to, some people are, because, you know, communism ended, 20-something years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So the younger people, of course, they don't know what it's like our guide. He said his parents, who kind of grew up under the communist thing, they preferred communism because they didn't have to worry about food or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas nowadays the economy is, he says, from a few years ago the economy is getting better. Jobs are very hard to get, good jobs. Somebody else we had talked to, the taxi driver, I mean, he had a degree of maybe an engineer degree, couldn't get a job, so he's driving taxis. The average wage I think per month was maybe about $400 to $500.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So
that's surprising.
Mm-hmm.
It's very surprising.
So it's very difficult for a lot of people, though. Our guide, it was nice to see that he was doing well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then tell me about the Ama. Number one, I'd like, what was the name of the river you got on, and what was the river boat like?
It's the Lower Danube. So, and the boat is the Ama Sonata, and it's about 2 years old, and it's a really pretty boat. That's when I got on it. That's what I said. It's pretty.
Mm. Only 2 years old, so it's mm-hmm. almost new.
It's almost new. Yeah. So I was trying to compare because this was my first time on Ama Waterways, and I've been on Viking twice to see what the differences are. But I couldn't do an apples to apples because I've only been on the older boats with Viking. So as far as the boats, this was definitely nicer, but the food was good. They have a few little touches that I noticed that maybe Viking didn't have. They would have like hand cream on the nightstand on both sides. They have, when we were in Bulgaria, you know, nobody had Bulgarian money because we would be only there for a day. So they had arranged for envelopes for like maybe $12 Bulgarian. They said, oh, if you want Bulgarian money to buy little trinkets when you're out, just you could sign it out and they would charge it to your room. So that was nice.
Yeah.
Little things like that. They had a specialty dining restaurant where they would serve by courses with wine. There's no charge for that. So... and it's a smaller venue. I think only about 25 people can fit.
Wow.
Yeah. So everybody got to take turns.
Uh-huh. Now that was is there two dining rooms or three dining rooms on
the island? There's, for dinner, there's two. So they have the main dining room and then they have this little
specialty
chef's table venue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how many people total fit on the Ama cruise?
Like 164.
So you're talking very small. My mm-hmm. gosh, 164.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you get a chance to really interact and get to kind of know the people you're on the river cruise with.
Yeah, yeah.
So on this one, it's pretty much inclusive as far as beer, wine, and soft drinks. Is that what they give you for drinks, or what do they give you for alcohol?
Beer and wine, soda at lunch and dinner.
Mm-hmm.
All during the day, they have tea, they have specialty coffees, they have a little like Nescafe type thing, so you just go, and then they have little cookies out, so you can get that any time of day.
And I haven't done a river cruise, so this is brand new to me. Mm-hmm. So, you can just get off, you're cruising during the day or at night? When do you mainly do the ground down the river? When do you go at nighttime?
Mainly you're cruising at night, mm-hmm. except for one day we were cruising during the day, and we went through the iron locks, or the iron gates, I should say, and that's like the second biggest lock in Europe next to the Volga, a lock in the Volga River in Russia.
So that had to be in the daytime.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That was during the day.
Was that interesting to watch?
Yeah. And then there's a big, they have a dam with a hydroelectric power. So it took like about an hour and a half to go through the lock.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go through the iron lock. The iron gates also refers to this narrow, not super narrow, but a gorge where they have these really high cliffs. And so
interesting.
Mm-hmm, interesting scenery.
Uh-huh.
And I think that was like the narrowest part of the Danube River.
So you really could see what's happening on the shoreline.
Mm-hmm. You could.
Yeah, that's kind of
when
nice.
It wasn't foggy, because some days it was kind of foggy.
I wouldn't have guessed that. That's interesting. Yeah, mm-hmm. You never think, well, it might be foggy. And so foggy, you don't even see the shoreline from the river?
You could see it in the fog.
Wow,
you know.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
But that day it was pretty clear. And actually the weather was kind of gray pretty much almost every day. I think maybe two or 2 days, 3 days.
And the temperature was about?
I would say 50s.
And, okay, and then so not real warm, but yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it was cold for me. Yeah so I had a jacket, and nights it got a little bit cooler.
Mm-hmm. So what was after you went to Bucharest, what was the next stop going down the river?
So from Bucharest, because Bucharest from the port is about an hour and a half.
Oh, you have to drive down. Okay. Mm-hmm,
yeah. So we had a driver take us down to, it's called Giurgiu. It's the port in Romania. So we boarded there. So it was interesting about that. So you board the boat. Everybody had to get on or by 4 o'clock. And then they go across the river to Rus, Bulgaria. And so there was a couple different reasons for that. Some people said it was because in the daytime, it was cheaper to dock on the Romanian side. And then at nighttime, it was cheaper for the Bulgaria side. So, and then somebody else said it was because you have to go where the port people tell you to go. So I'm not sure what the real story was.
So your first journey was just crossing
across
the river.
Across the river.
Which is about, 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Just right over there.
And so so the next day, our next full day, you had a couple of choices as far as shore excursions. For those who just got on, you could go do a full tour of Bucharest, but we had enough of Bucharest. Mm-hmm. So then we went to a place called Vidin, Bulgaria. Mm. So we went up to a medieval fortress, and that day it was beautiful, blue skies. So we went up to this fortress.
Did it feel like Italy, or what kind of place did it feel like when you went into this fortress?
Yeah, I would say Italy.
Or maybe Croatia or something like that.
Italy, yeah. Maybe more Croatia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this was a tour they offered, or did you own a private tour?
No, it was a tour with AMA Waterways. They had a couple of options so you could choose whether to do Bucharest or Vidin. So we ended up doing Vidin.
And they take you by bus up there? Yeah.
That one was like a 2-hour bus ride.
How much did it cost?
It's included. So with river cruises, all your shore excursions are included.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, and then with AMA, you could do like the main excursion, and they have some optional ones that you could choose from, and there's no additional cost.
I like that. I mean, because that would have been, if it was on an oceanic cruise, but probably 150, 145 euros. So that's nice. That's a bonus right there.
Yeah.
Okay. And then that's your day thing for the one for the day, right? And then where did you go?
Then the next day we were supposed to have a day of just cruising on the river through the iron gates, and then we were going to stop at another town in Bulgaria. But then we were sitting there and just chit-chatting with other guests on board, and they make an announcement that the river's been closed.
What?
So
how do you close a river? What happens?
Well, where we were headed, I guess there was a big storm, and supposedly there was a lot of wind, and because of the wind coming down through this kind of narrow valley type thing, it could cause waves up to 9 feet.
What? So on a river?
Yeah, I never knew.
I never guessed that's possible.
So we kind of just we're waiting there, and then we ended up going to another town in Bulgaria, and
down the river still further,
kind of like where we were stopped. They're like, okay, we're gonna go to this little port. So
they had to improvise
and I can't remember the name of it. So AMA Waterways handled it really well. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they knew before they said anything to us, because they were able to get us on buses organized onto a last minute excursion up to this a prehistoric settlement that they had found.
There's a prehistoric settlement.
Yeah.
Up in the hills. Wow.
It was up on, it was maybe in an hour.
Interesting.
Yeah. So where they found all the prehistoric settlement.
From how long
ago? Like 6,500 years ago.
That's really old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. So that site goes way, way back.
Yeah. So they were able to organize that really, really quickly. Mm-hmm. And so I think they handled that very well. And then we also had gone to this... no, that was in another town. So we just did that. And the nice thing about that one, because there was another river cruise line called Vantage. They were in the same predicament as we were. And so I guess they weren't able to get things organized, so their people had to stay on the boat.
Ooh, that would have been a drag.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. A day wasted, because it's only a seven-day cruise, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
A day wasted on a seven-day cruise, and the first day you don't really count because you're just kind of getting settled, right? And
mm-hmm.
So that would make it down to, like, just 5 days. So that would have been, yeah. It's good that Alma came through on that.
Yeah, so they have really good connections with their on-location partners. And then we had to go back 2 hours to the Romanian side. So we were bouncing back between Romania and Bulgaria during this storm thing. And there again, this one was called Orsovo. And so the next morning they had arranged for some tours. And I give them credit because the tour company is based in Bucharest. They had to drive 3 hours to get to where we were in Orsovo. And the only thing they really had in that little town was a monastery and a church. But we got to go off the boat, you know. So, and then that was supposed to be it. And then they were still waiting to hear about the weather. And they actually were able to put together another excursion up to this place called Herculane, which it's a old Roman bath area, and it used to be a place where all the communists used to go. They had casinos up there.
Really?
Yeah, it was like a communist vacation spot. But the interesting thing about that, after communists fell, they had this beautiful like train station. It was just all abandoned in ruins, and then also casinos. So it was just kind of left.
Were the casinos still open, or were they
no,
closed?
No, they were all abandoned. There was a few hotels kind of farther down where you could do these Roman baths things. So, but it was really pretty with all the fall colors. So I, even though there wasn't really anything there, I kind of liked it. It was just so picturesque.
Wow, I wouldn't guess that. Yeah. So, I mean, at this point, you really hadn't planned to spend so much time
in Bulgaria.
Bulgaria, right? I mean, because that's like, I would have thought maybe one day, you know. But are you behind on your schedule? Because, I mean...
We were, because then we didn't really know where, like, okay, if we were going to be stuck where we were and what they were going to do, so...
Because you had to go down that passage that had the bad weather.
Mm-hmm. But the next day, we got to another, then we made it to Serbia. So we were supposed to be in Belgrade the next day, but they weren't sure if we were going to do that. So I guess in the night, we could feel that we were moving. So we knew we were going somewhere, but we didn't know where.
You're on the road to nowhere. You're
like,
on the river
are
to
we
nowhere.
In Belgrade? But we didn't actually get to Belgrade. We went to
Serbia.
Another little town where they picked us up in the morning and then they bused us to Belgrade, which was about an hour and a half ride. And we did a tour of Belgrade, which is, I thought that was an interesting city too. And so we went up and there's another medieval fortress, and then they had a lot of park space, and then we went and I had some time to do some shopping in the city, and it's like a bustling city, and they were joking.
What kind of shopping do you do in Belgrade?
Well, you know, they have a lot of cafes.
You just kind of wander around.
You kind of wander around the city. They have some high-end stores there, too. They had one store. When I travel, I like to buy jewelry. Here's one of my...
That's a very nice piece. What is it? Let's see here.
It's a... It's I always, for some reason, I end up buying...
That's very interesting. That's handmade.
It's handmade.
I almost feel like this is that commercial QVC. I mean, like we're doing, like we're selling a ring on.
So
yeah, that's very nice, though. I like that very much.
I seem to end up buying silver rings every time I go to Europe.
You only have so many fingers.
Yeah, but I change them out.
Oh, okay.
So this one, I mean, and they had, it's kind of like was an artisan store where all these local artisans sold jewelry or, little flea market things, but this was handmade.
Yeah, I can tell.
And it was like $15.
That's a very good price.
Yeah,
for it.
And then I went to the next place, and this other lady, she made this really unusual jewelry, so I bought some of that. So
that's nice.
Yeah,
that's nice. And for them, I mean, that's their huge amount of income, right?
It is.
I imagine they don't do that cruise much after right now. You wouldn't be doing that cruise in the wintertime.
No, I think it was the last one for the season.
Yeah, so they have. Sometimes you can get better prices when it's towards the end of the season and they have product they want to sell.
But there's a lot of other European river cruises besides the ones that we know of that cruise through. So, but I guess Belgrade is, or in Belgrade, we also had, they took us to lunch at a local restaurant. And
you had Belgravian food.
Serbian food.
Seriously.
And then we had, they had music playing and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So then we had time to kind of just walk around the city a little bit before we went back. But then our boat actually caught up with us because everybody was like, oh, do we have to drive back to that other, their other spot? But our boat actually was able to make it to Belgrade. And then we got on board and then...
And no 9-foot waves, everything calmed down.
No 9-foot waves. But then...
So now you're halfway through the cruise.
And we were, where I was like, okay, I know we're going to, we need to, we're going to have, something's going to have to be cut out.
Yeah.
Because we were behind schedule. So we were supposed to go to another, Croatia, and another stop in Hungary, Pesh. And I was looking forward to that one because that one had a bike tour, which I wanted to do because Alma has bikes.
And people might know it as Budapest. There's Pest.
No, this one was called
Pet. Oh, it's not the other part.
No,
oh, okay.
It's P-E-C-S.
Okay.
Yeah, Pex.
So did they drop that?
Yeah, they had to because they had to make a... So that day we just cruised all day and they had stuff for us to do and... I tried to get some work done, but
when you're
sailing on the internet, it was, it's not very good. There was like
slow.
Yeah. So it's not conducive to working. So I just kind of, read my book, or kind of talked with other travel there because it was actually a travel agent, fam trip.
Oh.
So there was a lot of travel agents, on board. So we kind of chit chatted and, about work stuff.
Mm-hmm. So. Do they have a gym on board?
They did. Mm-hmm. I didn't use it though.
No. Mm-hmm. Most people don't.
But there was a lot of people, and they actually had a pool. Which
it's too cold for a pool if it's 50 degrees out.
I know, but the it was the water was warm. And actually, a few people did go in the pool. My husband did. I did not. And then they have a little running track too, and they have a massage room where you can
is it a little spa or is it just
where a room where you can get massages and where you can get your hair done.
Okay, so, all right.
Yeah.
So so then you missed a day.
Uh-huh.
And then did you land up going to Croatia?
Or? We didn't go to Croatia. So we ended up in so that we had to catch up. Where we got backed up, and then we ended up in Budapest.
Which was the last day, wasn't it?
That was the last day.
Wow. And that, again, is a very interesting city. I've seen it on a few travel shows, you know, on TV and things. And tell us a little about Budapest.
I really liked Budapest, and I would actually like to go back and spend another couple days there, because there's the Buda side, which is up on the hill. They have the castle. And
is that the older city?
That is the older city, mm-hmm. the old town. And then there the Pesh side. And we stayed on the Pesh side. And
did you get off the river?
We got off the river cruise, and then we were on our own.
Okay, I'm going to finish up the live section. You can listen on KAOI1110.com if you want to stream. Otherwise, if you're here, it's KAOI 1110 AM or 96.7 FM. And we thank you, Joshua and Hermine and Kaylee Lewis and all those who joined us. And I will post this after we're through here. So it's interesting because I have to be honest, if this had happened to me, I might have been a little bit disappointed.
Well, you have to understand with the river cruise, I've been on three river cruises. Mm-hmm. The first river cruise, the water was too low.
Oh.
The second one, and on the 7 day, we had to bus 3 days.
Wow.
Because they can't go because uh-huh. the water, you know, they'll hit the bottom. The second one, the water was too high. So they couldn't.
See, I never have heard this before,
yeah.
So this is news to me. So I always just figured that river cruises were much more less apt to have problems and no problems or no delays or anything. So this is news to me. I was not aware of that.
Yeah, and they don't tell you this.
No, they don't.
They don't advertise, uh-uh. But it happens. I've never heard of the river being closed, so that's a new one on me. So I've got to experience three different scenarios, and every time it's you know, Viking handled it well. The mm-hmm. last the on the France one with the water was too high, we couldn't sail. Our cruise was almost done, and we couldn't sail under the bridge to get to our
wow.
last destination.
Uh-huh.
But because on the river, you're not going these thousands, you know, mile. You're only going maybe 100 miles or something like that. They would just bus you. They just bused us to the next port, and then we ended up getting off in Lyon, which was fine. And then they took care of our train because mm-hmm. we were training out of Chalon-Saint-Sur, and they took care of changing all the reservations.
So this is kind of nice if you can trust your river cruise people to take care of it. Like you said, one of the other river boats didn't have something they could do. So I guess this is where a nice river cruise like AMA or Viking, if they take care of you mm-hmm. and they're flexible and they make sure they take care of their passengers, good.
Yeah.
You don't get any reimbursements
no,
or anything
because
else.
It's just you got to go with the flow of the river. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So
did you? I mean, it's in the pictures I see Viking yeah. and everything, and you see them getting off and taking bike trips and doing little things in the day and then going. Did you find the ease of getting on and off the boat and having it there and wandering around on your own? Did you even do that, or was it worthwhile doing that, or did it make a difference at all?
On this trip, and I think especially this itinerary, these towns aren't really on the river. Mm-hmm. Like in France, yes, you can just, you know, every little port, you're in this cute little town.
Mm-hmm.
But on this Eastern European one, no. So the only one you might have been able to that I would say, that I saw would be in Belgrade, but you know, we had to bus into Belgrade, then we got off. We were be able to get back in on Belgrade. So you just kind of have to know that going in, mm-hmm. and it's just if you just kind of the way that it is.
But I have to say, thinking I do want to do a river cruise, I think I'd do the France one maybe over the Bucharest and over this one to Belgrade.
No, yeah, I wouldn't recommend this cruise for a first time mm-hmm. river cruiser.
Now, tell us about a little bit about Budapest, because that has a very interesting history, and it's a big city, it's a very large city, and quite a. It looks like the architecture is pretty interesting.
It is, and I like, but it's very walkable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
and where was your hotel again?
We were we were at the Sofitel, which is a
nice.
Really nice hotel. I put many clients there, so I wanted to stay there so that I could, you know, see what I've been putting people in. But really nice hotel. Our room, we had a view pretty much straight on of the castle, right across the river on the Buddha side. So everything was all lit up. I really liked Budapest, and I would go back there definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And
you had 2 days there?
Two nights. So we had, two full days. And the first day, actually, I met some people on the boat. So they have a free walking tour in Budapest, and actually quite a few cities in Europe have these free walking tours. So I'm like, okay, let's go check it out.
Mm-hmm.
So you meet at this certain place, designated place, and it's free. That's they just wonderful. Work for tips. And, I was kind of skeptical, like, mm-hmm. Is it really going to be good? But there was probably maybe about 60 people there.
Hmm.
They had these guides, and then they kind of broke it up into smaller groups. And our guide was really great. And you don't get the little headsets like you do when you're on the... we would walk, and then she would stop, and then... tell us a little bit about, the first thing is about the area and different things we're going to see along the way. And then we'd walk and then talk about drinking, like what people drink, or, if you're into bars or something like that, and then walk and then you talk about the food. So it was really good.
How long was it?
It was 2.5 hours.
Oh, and you covered the old... covered which side?
We covered both sides.
Oh, both sides. That's impressive. Yeah.
So we started on the Pech side, and then we walked across the chain bridge, and then walked all the way up to the castle area.
You did a lot of walking.
Yeah. So that was good, because I was eating a lot, and I didn't feel like I was getting a lot of walking.
What kind of food were you eating on the cruise ship? What did you have?
I don't remember.
Just know there was a lot of it.
There was a lot of it.
Yeah.
Their soups were good. They had, I don't know, my mind's drawing a blank, but it was good.
Yeah.
So the tour was really good.
And did you do anything like go out to music at night, or any of the cafes at night, or do anything like that in the couple days you had in Budapest?
We did the walking tour, and then we did the hop on, hop off, which just to kind of get a good overview of the city, just to kind of get the the lay of the land, which is kind of...
Yeah, sometimes they're good. I mean, I've seen good hop on, hop offs, and I've seen bad ones, if you want to get... If you haven't been to a place before, it's something to think about, really, getting around.
Yeah, so
about what usually in Ireland, France, it's usually about 40. Barcelona, I think, is about 40. Was it cheaper
in Budapest? It was cheaper in Budapest. Uh-huh. We did, for 2 days, it was like maybe... For total, for two of us, was like $40.
That's a good
for
deal.
2 days, and mm-hmm. it included a night river cruise.
Did you do that?
No.
No, we didn't. Had enough of the river.
Yeah, we didn't do that. But the friends that we made on board, they did it. Mm-hmm. They liked it. And then, what I would like to do, because they have a lot of thermal baths there. Mm-hmm. They've got like really big ones. And I didn't do that because we didn't really have enough time. But a couple of the other... travel agents that I met, they were going to do that, and they said it was really good.
Now, did you go to Austria on the way back?
Yeah. So then after Budapest, then we took a train.
We did by train.
Train, mm. which was, it's really a nice way to travel.
It is. Yeah.
You just, take a taxi to the train station, and you only got to be there like maybe 15 minutes.
Right.
And then get on the train, and then... It was like 3.5 hours.
Oh, was it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it went by really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And
Austria is a beautiful city.
Mm-hmm. Then we went to Vienna.
Vienna is mm-hmm. lovely. Yeah. Where'd you stay in Vienna?
The Le Méridien.
Nice. Mm-hmm. That's a nice hotel.
It was nice.
Yeah.
It was very, really good location. It was like on the outer ring, so you're walking.
Old
like,
town. It's that churches and the, oh my gosh. And
the opera
pastries.
House.
Oh my
God. So.
The best pastries. Yeah. Oh my gosh. The pastries are, well... French pastry is nice, but they're different. Well, the strudels and the, yeah, things are amazing.
Well, you know, the croissant came from Austria.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I thought it was French.
No, it came from Austria.
I learned something new today. I learned a lot of new things today. Well, that's cool. So you had an interesting trip. It was a good trip. It was fun watching it. A little different than I would have imagined when I saw the pictures.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd do it. But
no, I said,
yeah.
It's not for your first time river cruise.
If you've
been everywhere.
But
I haven't been everywhere, but
yeah,
I like to do a few different things. You know?
Well, we have about 3 minutes left, and you still have a couple deals. It's so interesting. I'm thinking of going to Australia for Christmas because I have a friend. Christine's going to go.
Oh.
So I'm thinking of joining her. But you still have a couple of cruises. Is anything left on Paul Gauguin between now and the end of the year? Do you know?
Yes. I checked on that today. And the only thing left for this year is the November 19th 2 week.
That's a nice one. No, November 19th for 2 weeks is good.
And
it costs a little more. What is that one?
Give me a second and I will tell you.
Yeah, the Paul Gauguin Calm Iron Rate is really pretty awesome, actually. And, you know, people want to get away. It's still doable, easy to do.
The porthole cabin starts at $23.95 per person, and the balcony cabin is $36.95 per person.
For 2 weeks, and that's all-inclusive. And a very, very, very nice small cruise line, 334 people, I believe it is, right? It's interesting because you go to some interesting places on that second week. And a lot of your people and clients and people I know have already done the seven-night one. So it's nice to think about doing the 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Almost everyone I know says at the end of seven nights they wish they could spend another week on board.
When we did it, we did the seven night, and then a couple was staying on board just to do the thing again, and they had been like, I don't know, 10 times?
Yeah, no, it is, but it's so wonderful. It really, it truly is. And so people can call you. You're back home. When did you arrive back? Saturday night?
Friday night late. Yeah.
They can call you at 244-1414. We have about a minute left. I know you want to do a little tribute maybe to your friend. I saw Chris passed on.
Chris Kaia Okamalie. He was a director of travel agent sales for the Maui Visitors Bureau, and he passed away on Friday. So
I saw some lovely pictures of him, did a lot of hula, worked with the Visitors Bureau.
Yeah, he was just the most positive person, and he went out on the road for the Visitors Bureau to teach travel agents about selling Maui. And he was like a rock star to travel agents. It's amazing.
Wow.
Everybody loved him.
Prayers out to the family and him. And well, happy Halloween, everyone. The hour flew by. I bet you were wondering if you could talk for an hour, but you know, it's not enough time almost. But thank you so much for giving us an in-depth look on your wonderful trip. And we'll be back next week here. And I want to thank everyone for listening to the Travel Angel Radio Show. You can go to more at travelangel.com.